Childs in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salapanica. Tonight we celebrate the return of our star comedian, Fred Allen. Music by Peter Van Steeden and a special amateur contest. New music, new voices, new laughs with Fred Allen at Town Hall tonight. Fred Allen and Portland as they march down from Maine, scattering fishing tackle and wet bathing suits on all sides. The mighty Allen R players are running ahead of them, wearing Palm Beach suits all ready for Indian summer. And they're all on their way to the old town hall. Tonight's the night, and everybody's going. Everybody! Here they come, fathers.
The family's all here, Pa. What is it you got to say?
I don't want to hear a peep out of anybody for now, Ma. It's town hall tonight.
Mothers!
Lord, you got the house turned upside down. Did you lose something, Mother?
Lose something? I can't find the ear trumpet. It's town hall tonight.
Kiddies!
Now you get your things off, Junior. You're going up to bed.
You ain't putting me to bed without a struggle, Ma. It's town hall tonight.
Here we are before the old town hall, and there's Fred welcoming the crowd with a second-hand thought for today. Let's listen.
There are empty saddles in the old corral, but every seat is filled at the town hall, folks. Get your camp stools on the way in.
Glad to see you home, Mr. Allen.
I'm glad to be back home, too, Mrs. Quigg. Plenty of room on the inside, folks.
Easy, Brother Allen.
Hi there, George. Laughing already, hey?
You better.
Everything new but the jokes on the inside, folks. So hurry.
We're all set, Fred.
Okay, Harry. We're opening with celebrating.
Right. Let her go, Peter. Presenting that forgotten man whom I know you all remember, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, tonight, the town hall officially opens its new season. We were going to have a monster celebration for you, but some of the folks thought that a monster might frighten the kiddie, so we gave the whole thing up. Now, right after tonight's show, Hodge White is opening his new air-conditioned chili parlor. Hodge says he's going to keep his cooling system on all winter, and his new slogan will be, "Get your chili where it's chilly." So much for red-hot happenings around the village. And now for the town hall news. The curtain, Harry.
Coming right down, Fred.
Silvo lower. The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week. The town hall news sees nothing, shows all. Radio City, New York. Prominent radio comedian returns for winter series and is received at broadcasting station with open arms. Town Hall News shows alleged prominent comedian entering Radio City.
This way for the Town Hall Tonight program. Tickets, please.
Excuse me, mister.
Yes, madam.
Is this Grant's tomb?
No, lady. This is Radio City.
Who's dead in here?
Only the radio comedians, lady. They're dead from the neck up. Town Hall Tonight tickets. This way,
hi,
please.
Hi, Joe. Hi. Nice ticket taking, old boy.
Just a minute, wise guy. Where do you think you're going?
Well, I'm Fred Allen.
Never mind the double talk. Come on. Where's your ticket?
Ticket? I don't need it. Any ticket, I'm broadcasting tonight.
Look, this is Wednesday, buddy. The Goodwill Court's on Sunday night.
No, no, no. No buttons. I'm on Town Hall tonight. I'm the star.
You ain't kidding me, tourist. I know the stars on that program. Soup, Bagel, and Duck. Two swell guys.
You haven't sensed the trend, old boy. Stoop, Nagel, and Bud finished last Wednesday, and I'm starting back on the air tonight. I'm Fred Allen, the comedian.
Yeah, well, you ain't making me laugh. Now, scram.
Hello, George.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Van Steeden.
Well, Peter Van Steeden.
You've got me, buddy.
You remember me, Fred Allen.
This guy says he's on your program tonight, Mr. Van Steeden.
What program?
What program? Town Hall tonight, remember? I was on the show last winter. The name's Allen.
Oh, yes, the talking bird. You're a riot.
Now, wait a minute. I'll go right up with you,
No,
Peter.
You don't, long puss. You ain't getting by me without a ticket.
Now, see here. This thing's gone far enough. You're manhandling a personality.
No, you don't. Stay
now,
right
here. Now,
here, here, boys. What's all the disturbance?
Sorry, Mr. Von Zell, but this bum's trying to crash the gate.
Harry Von Zell.
Sorry, brother. I haven't got a dime on me.
But I'm not panhandling. You remember me.
No, I don't remember the face. Your breath is certainly familiar.
My name's Fred Allen.
Congratulations. I'll see you around sometime. So long.
But, Harry, listen.
No, you don't now.
Now, see here. Take your finger out of my dimple, menial. I can see I've got to go over your head. Get me the president of NBC. He'll get me in.
Listen, buddy, there's only one guy can get you into Radio City.
Yes, where is he?
Across the hall at that desk.
It's about time I got some service around here. Say, mister.
What can I do for you?
I've got to get into Radio City.
Give me 40 cents.
40? 40 cents for what?
Don't argue. Get into this elevator.
Now, quit pushing me. Who are these people? Where are you taking me?
Radio City sightseeing tour. Going up?
Washington, D.C. I should have gotten in the elevator sooner, I think. Washington, D.C. Married man kissing his own wife in parked car is arrested and charged with disorderly conduct. Town Hall News shows a Washington married couple narrowly escaping arrest. The scene, a husband and wife drive up to his office.
I'll park right here. Now kiss me goodbye, darling.
No, it's too risky, Clara.
Yeah, kissing's pretty dangerous here in Washington, Ma.
Nonsense, son. Your father's a taxpayer, and a taxpayer certainly has a right to kiss his wife in his own car.
Yeah, but Mr. Jones next door got 6 months yesterday.
6 months? For what?
A cop caught him waving at a woman on a bus. He couldn't prove it was his wife.
Well, we don't have to worry. I've got our marriage license right here in the car. Come on, Herman, kiss me.
Well, I...
Make it a quickie, Pa. I'll watch for the cops.
Let's go, Herman. Swing it.
Well, all right.
Break it up, Pa. Jesus.
Hey, what's going on here?
Why, there's nothing, officer.
Nothing, hey. What's that lip rouge on your neck, a birthmark?
Well, it's...
You're under arrest, Masher.
This is my husband, officer.
Quit kidding, lady. Married people ain't kissing this early in the day.
Oh, they're not. Well, take a look at this wedding ring and show him that paper, Herman.
Yes, here's our marriage license.
I guess that'll shut you up, Cossack.
This paper ain't shutting me up, lady.
What do you mean?
This is a cooking school diploma.
Well,
good Lord, I brought the wrong paper.
Excuses don't go, folks. This is Washington, D.C., and kissing in public's a misdemeanor. Now, come on, both of you.
Just a minute, Flatfoot.
What are you doing in back there, son?
You can't arrest these people. We're married.
Now, how would you know?
Well, who do you think I am, Freddy Bartholomew?
New York City, New York. The Yankees win World Series in 6 games and become World's Baseball Champions for 1936. Town Hall News brings you the outstanding lowlights of the series. First, an interview with the man who almost bought the first ticket for the opening game of the series, Mr. Flubdub D. Fink.
Do I start talking now? Ladies and gentlemen,
just a minute, Flubdub. How did you happen to almost buy the first ticket?
Well, the newspaper said it was going to be a nickel World Series, so I went up to the ticket window with a nickel.
What happened?
I was $9.95 short.
A flash from the third game. Lou Gehrig hits a home run. Town Hall News shows Gehrig coming home.
Come in, Lou.
We present for the first time over the networks the man who broke the World Series hot dog eating record for all times, Mr. Roland Mohn.
How many Frankfurts did you consume, Mr. Mohn? No, no. No, no, just how many? Just give us the number, if you will, Mr. Mohn.
I can't talk, mister. I'm so full of dogs I can only bark.
The fresh band to stand up to stretch in the... The fresh band to stand up to stretch in the lucky seventh, Mr. Tacit Flex.
Is this the microphone here?
Yes, Mr. Flex. I'm wearing the derby here. Will you, now, will you, just an informal exhibit, if you will. You just show us how you stretch during the World Series.
Okay, but you'll have to stand back.
All right.
Watch this. Oh, gol darn these tight pants.
The man who yelled the loudest during the entire series, the season's champion heckler, Mr. Raucous Pipes. Mr. Pipes.
Yeah, throw the bum out! Throw the bum out! Get him out of there! I saw throw the bum out! Throw him out! I said it!
Just a minute. Huh? Well, life isn't a personal appearance, Mr. Pipes. Now, you just come over to the microphone.
Here. I don't need no microphone, buddy. When I'm hot, you can hear me in Omaha. Yay! Throw the bum out!
Now, wait a minute.
Throw the bum out! Get him out!
Wait a minute. Just give us your bellowing high spot from the World Series. Which was your Pulitzer Prize catcall? Do you remember?
Well, in the third game, the umpire called Terry safe, you see, so I swings into action. Yay! Take that bum out! Oh, throw him out, you bum! Throw him out!
Did they throw him out?
I don't know. When I come to, the series was over.
Once again, the Town Hall News scoops the world. Tonight, we bring you a 10-second review of the leading motion picture of the week, The General Died at Dawn.
Wake up, General.
What time is it, Orderly?
It's dawn, General.
Thank you, Orderly. Goodbye.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Fred, you know, it certainly is good to hear you saying thank you again. We all missed you. Did you really have a good time this summer?
Yes, I certainly did, Harry. But you know, after a while, I started to miss the city. The monoxide gas, the taxis scooting up your trouser legs, you know. Why, I even started to miss you, Harry.
Well, thanks, Fred.
Yes, I used to catch myself trying to remember things you used to say. You know, about Ipana and...
Sure, Fred. You mean things like... Ipana is the toothpaste designed to help benefit your gums as well as keep your teeth white and sparkly.
That's right, Harry. And then you used to say...
The creamy, well-cooked foods we eat nowadays don't give our gums enough exercise and stimulation to keep them firm and healthy. But you can help supply that stimulation by massaging a little Ipana into your gums every time you brush your teeth with it. And in that way, you give your gums the toning and stimulation they need to help guard against serious gum trouble.
That's it, Harry. It all comes back to me now. Remember how you used to finish up?
Well, certainly, Fred. So, ladies and gentlemen, you'll have healthier gums, brighter teeth, and a far more attractive smile if you'll always remember Ipana, for the smile of beauty.
Steven and the Ipana Troubadours have just played Do You or Don't You Love Me. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the next... Hey, wait a minute, boys. Hey, boys, hold it. Peter, that song isn't in the program this week.
Isn't this where Soupnagle and Bud come on?
No. Haven't you quartet chaps been listening to the show tonight?
Yes, that's what gave us the idea.
What idea?
That Stoopnagel and Bud ought to come on here.
Never mind Stoopnagel. You fellas better practice your music. If you guys were any flatter, you'd sing horizontal.
I wonder what became of Stoopnagel.
Look, I don't even know what became of Sally. I can't be looking behind every bubble I see around, can I? Now, let's have it quiet, boy.
Mr. Albert!
Oh, I just get one thing
Mr.
up.
Albert!
Quiet, quiet, please. If that's the call of the wild, you can tame it down a teeny-weeny mite, if you will.
Hello.
Well, sir, as the man said when he opened the Oregon road map, if it isn't Portland.
Yes. Gosh, oh, boy, what say? Am I glad to see you back, Mr. Allen.
Hey, wait a minute. You'll be all out of cheers for the football season starts. Why all this enthusiasm?
I'm chairman of the Fred Allen Welcoming Committee. We're going to have speeches and everything.
Well, this is a treat. Say, who's this man coming?
Oh, he's the first surprise.
Pardon me, sir. Will you sign for this basket of flowers?
Oh, the committee shouldn't have done this, Portland. Flowers for little old baggy middle-aged me. Oh, God.
Isn't it wonderful?
And good luck from me, too, Mr. Landon.
Landon? Landon, my name's Alan.
Oh, yeah? Give me back them sunflowers.
Why, Dad, what does he mean?
Don't get excited,
coming
Mr. Allen. Anybody's apt to make a mistake.
You certainly started my homecoming off with a bang, Portland.
Oh, you just wait. The bang is coming now.
Fine, I'll hold my ear.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the first speaker to welcome Mr. Allen back tonight is Mr. Hugh McIntyre. Mr. McIntyre.
Ah, thank you. In behalf of the Caledonia Radio Fans Club, I take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Allen with a good luck horseshoe.
Thank you, Mr. McIntyre.
Aye, don't mention it, lad. I'm only the spokesman.
But where is the horseshoe, Mr. McIntyre?
I've got the horse tied up outside.
You mean my good luck horseshoe is still on the horse?
Aye, you can bend down and help yourself. And your radio fans are hoping for the best.
Thank you, Mr. McIntyre.
That's fine, an auspicious start. I suppose my next present is an overnight bag that's still in Macy's window.
The next speaker on our welcoming committee, ladies and gentlemen, is DuPont Strudel, president of the Ready-to-Wear League, a jolly good fellow wholesale. Mr. Strudel.
A jolly good fellow wholesale.
Thank you personally. My friend, tonight I am here to welcome you purposely to my one price sale in winter overcoats. With the new Harry Richmond Transatlantic Team Sealer, I am giving away one ping pong ball absolutely free. I'm a sucker. I thank you.
Hey, what kind of a welcome is this? Up to now, nobody's even mentioned my name. I suppose the next speaker will show up with the keyhole to the city.
Now, don't get excited, Mr. Allen. We'll get around to you in a minute. Quiet, everybody.
Quiet? I haven't heard anything yet.
No, you're certainly lucky up to now.
Now, look, Portland, don't bother with your other speakers. I'll just say a few words about myself.
Now, don't get your dander up. If you'll just give me the floor for a minute.
All right, take the floor. I'll join the mural.
The featured speaker of the evening is Mrs. Mangle, president of the Mothers Club of New Rochelle.
Thank you. Mothers of the world.
What's that got to do with me?
You had a mother, didn't you?
I only remember Dr. Defoe.
Quiet. As president of the Mothers Club of New Rochelle, I take great pleasure in introducing my eugenic daughter, Gloria.
Thank you, customers.
And my 100% all-American son, Hemlock.
Hello, folks.
These kids have been listening to the radio.
Mr. Allen.
We are gathered here tonight to welcome Uncle Don.
No, it ain't Uncle Don, Ma.
Who is it?
He looks like Bucktooth Rogers.
No, it's Mr. Allen, Mrs. Mangle.
Oh, yes, but why beat about the bush? My two kiddies have written poems of welcome, and I know we're all just dying to hear them. Aren't we, folks?
It's unanimous.
Carry on, Gloria.
A poem. Roses are red, violets are blue. If I had a petunia, I'd petunia in on you.
Petunia in on you.
Don't you like it?
Did she have that petunia left over from an old knock-knock?
Who's
there?
Petunia.
Petunia who?
Petunia, old gray bonnet, and you can pull it down over your inch steps. Oh. As far as...
Don't cry now,
I'd have done better at sing-sick.
Wait till Hemlock recites. My poem is called Alan.
Alan. Well, now we're getting someplace.
L is for the laughs you never handle.
Fine.
O is for the old age of your joke. U is just for you. I don't mean Benny.
I don't have to
check. S is for the snores your fun evokes. Y is for the yawns you give the nation. You're just a growing pain from coast to coast. Put them all together. They spell Alan.
Wait a minute. L-O-U-S-Y doesn't spell Alan.
And that's what you think.
Why, that little one. Why, that's the last straw.
Gosh, this is some welcome. Oh. Hey, Mr. Alan.
Get these people out of here. Give me those kids' heads. I'll show you a knock-knock.
But I haven't made my speech yet,
You
Mr.
can
Alan.
Make it on the wing.
I get it.
Goodbye, Portland.
Tally, ho!
And now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight the boys sing Sweet Violet. Your A's, boys.
Young fellow, I sure had the time of my life. But one day a man broke my backbone when he caught me kissing his sweet violet. Sweeter than all the roses, covered all over from head to foot, covered all over with snow. One day I forgot my suspenders and took my girl out to a dance. While dancing, I heard someone holler,
"Hey, mister, you're losing your
sweet violet. Sweeter than all the roses, covered all over from head to foot, covered all over with snow." We once were on Major Bowes' program. We figured to do very well. We tipped off our best friends to hear us, but all they heard was a... Sweeter than all the roses, covered all over from head to foot, covered all over with snow.
If you want to see a chair of marriage, and you're somebody's desire,
oh, don't try a kiss that is tempting.
For where there's smoke, there's
sweet violet, sweeter than all the roses, covered all over from head to foot, covered all over with snow. Pretty violet, covered all over with snow.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, boys. Now, the next...
Say, Harry, what kind of skullduggery's been going on around here anyway?
Why, Fred?
Well, when I was dusting out the attic in the town hall early this morning, I came across this infernal machine here.
Oh.
What is it?
That's just an invention that Colonel Stupnagel had left over. It's a penny for your thought-a-scope.
A penny for your what-a-scope?
Thought, Fred. Look, you put a penny in the slot, and the machine tells you what you're thinking.
Oh, a quaint contraption, isn't it?
Yeah, here, I'll treat you, Fred. Sort of a welcome home present.
Oh, swear.
Well, there goes the penny. Now listen to your thought.
I'm thinking of those Maine woods, the lazy streams, and that big, beautiful 2.5-pound trout, the one I bought from the guide. Hey, Harry, turn that thing off.
Oh, keep on, Fred. It's doing fine.
No, you try it. I have a penny here for you. See if it pulls a knife on you.
All right, Fred, let her go. I'm thinking of smiles. Smiles of health. Smiles that can be yours more often, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll just remember Sal Hepatica. Because so many times your logy, half-sick, headachy feeling is caused by two things. Waste in your body and acid in your system. And Sal Hepatica is the mineral salt laxative made especially to get after those two things. To remove waste from the body and also to help nature combat acidity. So whenever you're feeling under the weather, just do this.
Put 2 teaspoonfuls of Sal Hepatica in a glass of water and drink it.
Then see how quickly it will help you feel your old, normal self again. So remember Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Well, there's that. that theme song that brings back to a drama-starved America the immortal, mighty Allen Art Players. They'll be with you immediately after your station announcement.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we gather to witness a miracle in the modern theater. The mighty Allen Art Players thrown back into employment. Tonight, they present a mystery playlet entitled, Who Killed Barclay Rappaport? Overture, Peter.
Baldwin! Baldwin! Confound that butler!
You think old Mr. Rappaport?
Yes, hang it. Baldwin! Why do you always walk away when I ring my bell?
Force of habit, sir. I've appeared for Major Bowes, sir.
Bring me my nightcap.
Your macaroons and buttermilk, sir?
Yes, and turn on the radio.
Right, sir.
The radio always takes my mind off the buttermilk.
Right, sir. The radio is perfect, sir.
Time stands still. Noel Prosy, Idaho. Police squad tests new shatterproof glass for riot car windshield. Shots are fired at pretty girl behind unbreakable glass. Ready, Miss Dodge?
All ready.
Fire, boys. Time stands still.
Oh, Baldwin.
Anything wrong, sir?
Turn off that radio. Oh, I'm dying.
Oh, egad, dead. Oh, I say. Help! Assistant! Help!
What's up, Baldwin? What's all the yelling for?
It's Mr. Rappaport. Cook, he's dead.
Glory be! Oh!
What's going on in here? Can't you servants be quiet?
It's your husband, Mrs. Rappaport.
He's dead.
Dead? Call up the insurance company.
but really, madam.
Well, do something. Call the police. Call Winchell. Call somebody.
Yes, madam. I say help. Operator. Police headquarters. Barclay Rappaport is dead. Help. Police.
Help.
Come in.
Don't move nobody. I got you covered like a gigolo's ball spot.
Well, put down that gun. We ain't no clay pigeons.
Yes, who are you? Hopalong Cassidy?
I'm Inspector Bungle, sister. This may be the old lady's home, but I ain't leaving till I get my man.
Oh, I say.
If you're the body, lay down, brother.
Now, how can he be the body? He's talking, ain't he?
That don't prove nothing. A lot of dead ones shoot off their mouths in a presidential year.
Don't be absurd, Inspector.
Come on. Which one of you three is the body? Somebody better talk before rigor mortis sets in.
The body's in that chair next to the radio.
Don't point, Bridget. Excuse me, Mom.
Come on, come on. Get up out of that chair, Bud. I'm from the furniture company. Say, he's dead, all right.
Well, you don't think Mr. Barclay Rappaport is playing possum, do you?
I don't care if he's playing Monopoly. What did you say his name is?
His name was Barclay Rappaport.
Barclay Rappaport? The meatball king?
Yes, I'm Mrs. Rappaport.
He knew his onions. Who bumped him off?
Nobody. He was listening to the radio and he dropped dead.
Maybe he was bored to death. Any witnesses?
Garden here was in the room.
Answer
yes or no, flunky.
Well, I was in the room, but that is partly, sir.
Oh, but really, Baldwin, you're not Jekyll and Hyde.
Where's Jekyll and Hyde? Bring them two guys in here.
I'll get the Ouija board.
Don't move, you. Nobody leaves this room. There's something ain't kosher around here, and I don't mean you got a ham in the house.
Well, surely you're not hinting that Mr. Rappaport was murdered?
Why not? Barclay Rappaport was the meatball king. Any guy that sells meatballs has got plenty of enemies. Now, you better fess up, folks. Just what happened?
Yes, what did happen, Baldwin?
Well, Mr. Rappaport rang for me to get his nightcap and turn on the radio.
Yes, yes, go on.
Some news flash came on. There were three shots fired. The master said, I'm dying, Baldwin, dying. And then...
Then what?
He leaned back and carried on.
Then I rushed in.
And I rushed in.
For sure, eh?
That's our story, and you're stuck with it, Inspector.
Don't be too sure, gorgeous hussy. I'll take a look at the body.
I'm sure it was a heart attack.
My deduction will show what caused his death. His arm fell against his radio. Broke his wristwatch. Stopped at 10:05.
Oh, this is silly. The radio excited him and he popped off. It's as plain as your nose in our business.
What program was he listening to?
I don't know.
It was something with three shots.
Yes, I heard the shots in the kitchen.
Yeah, this dial turned to 13. That's station P-E-W. Give me that phone, Jeeves.
You're only wasting your time, Inspector.
Hello. Hello, operator. Inspector Bungle talking. Get me radio station P-E-W.
What are you going to do?
Keep your zipper closed, sister. Hello, station P-E-W?
Yes, but you're too late to vote for the amateurs.
This is Inspector Bungle, Bud. What program was on at 10-5?
10-5? Oh, yes, time stands still.
Hey, listen, I'm working on a case. Could you do that program over again for me?
Oh, goody, an encore. The actors will be delighted.
Now, hold it, Bud, hold it. I don't mean the whole program. I just want what went on the air between 10-4 and 10-5.
Okay, turn on your radio. We'll broadcast it right away.
Thanks. Turn on that radio, Jeeves.
Right, sir.
What's the big idea, stupid?
I'm going to see if that program's exciting enough to bring on a heart attack.
It was those three shots that unnerved Barkley. I know it.
Quiet. The radio's starting.
Time stands still. Noel Prothe, Idaho. Police squad tests new shatterproof glass for riot car windshields. Shots are fired at pretty girl behind unbreakable glass. Ready, Miss Dodd?
All ready.
Fire, boys.
Turn off that radio.
Yes, sir.
How many shots did you hear in the kitchen, cook?
Three. But there were only two shots fired just now.
That's right, only two.
Then what became of the third shot, Inspector?
The third shot is in Barkley Rappaport.
Glory be!
This is circumstantial poppycock.
Not so fast, Baldwin. I arrest you for the murder of Barkley Rappaport, the meatball king.
But this is preposterous.
The rumba's up, Bud. You're behind the meatball now. You fired the third shot. You thought the radio cover you up.
Is this true, Baldwin Fenevesi?
Baldwin Fenevesi. Why, without these sideburns...
Oh, my jaw!
And without his English accent...
Hey, give me back those sideburns!
No, you don't, Quentin Scurvy. Yes, Quentin Scurvy, the vegetarian fanatic. Inspector Bungle never fails. Hey, Scurvy.
Yes, I killed him. Barkley Rappaport, the meatball king, laughed at vegetarians. His slogan was, "The meatball a day keeps the spinach away." Ha ha! I showed him! I proved it to the world!
Proved what?
I am a vegetarian. He was a meatball fiend. I killed him!
What does that prove?
It proves that a vegetarian will outlive a meat eater every time!
Thank you so much for the first fall appearance of the mighty Alan Arklays, ladies and gentlemen, those tireless thespians who feel that the show must go on and on in spite of fervent advice to the contrary. But then, as that young fellow Publius Sirius said almost 2,000 years ago, many receive advice, few profit by it. Isn't that true, Harry?
Well, generally, I'd say it was, Fred, but there are still some exceptions. I know that countless people have profited by the advice of physicians regarding sal hepatica. For more than 40 years, many have recommended it. For more than 40 years, it has helped change dull, logy feelings into brighter, happier ones. Because sal hepatica is the mineral salt laxative made especially to do two important things.
To remove wastes from the body, and also to help nature combat acidity.
And those two things usually cause that logy, under-par feeling. So the very next time you feel under the weather, ladies and gentlemen, profit by sound advice and do this. Put two teaspoonfuls of sal hepatica in a glass of water and drink it. See how quickly and pleasantly it will help you feel alert, alive, and normal again. If you'll remember, sal hepatica, for the smile of health.
Now we have a pleasant surprise for you, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we welcome as a special guest star a young lady from Mexico City. The Bristol Myers Company recently sponsored a talent contest in Mexico that ran for one full year. Now the winner of this contest is this charming 18-year-old Mexican girl, Miss Maria Cristina Puga. Miss Puga flew to New York by Pan American plane and is staying at the Roosevelt Hotel during her visit to New York City as the guest of the Bristol Myers Company. This is the first time Maria has ever been out of Mexico City, and unfortunately, this little lady speaks no English, or I'd ask you to say a few words of greeting to you and vice versa. But her voice, I can assure you, is beautiful in any language. May I present, then, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in America, Miss Maria Christina Puga, singing Vals Musette from La Boheme. Miss Puga. Thank you very much. That was beautiful, and I do hope that you have a pleasant stay here in New York City, and be sure to carry our best wishes back with you to Mexico City when you return. Thank you.
Our Town Hall Amateur Contest. Tonight, Fred Allen has a special group of amateurs for this contest. So come on, let's give them a real Town Hall reception.
Jim running around here. Thank you. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is Boston night. All of our amateurs this evening come from Boston, Massachusetts. Good old Uncle Jim held an amateur contest for the town hall at the Metropolitan Theater in Boston last week. And while we originally intended to give just the winner an opportunity to appear on our program, but after auditioning some 1,100 amateurs, Uncle Jim found so many talented boys and girls in Boston that we have invited all six of the finalists to New York as our guests tonight. Now, these acts, the pride of Boston, will compete for a special first prize of $100 in cash and a second prize of $50. The applause will be recorded on our sound recording machine, and the two acts receiving the highest applause ratings will be called back later so that you may select, with due thought and forethought, I might say, so that you may select your final winners. Now, first tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are happy to welcome Miss Gertrude Reynolds from West Roxbury, Massachusetts. Is that right, Miss Reynolds?
Yeah.
How are you enjoying your visit to New York City?
Oh, very much. Uncle Jim took us up to Radio City. And
he did, huh?
He's been wonderful to us all.
Well, Uncle Jim, you won't find anyone any nicer or better. I don't doubt if you'll ever meet anyone nicer or better than Uncle Jim.
I don't think I have.
No, he's very Have you, do you like Boston better than New York, what you've seen of it so far?
Very much so.
You like Boston better? Well, you can't tell if you've been in Radio City all day. You haven't been out. Well, we haven't any buildings in Boston as tall as Radio City, have we?
That's what I don't like.
That's what you don't like, eh? Well, I think, personally, that tall buildings are really a waste of time. We have the Bunker Hill Monument. That gets to the point much quicker than Radio City. But I think Boston is one of the nicest cities in the country, don't you? We have lots of things there. We have the Frog Pond, where I studied voice years ago. And Paul Revere's home. Paul Revere never could have made his ride here in New York, do you think?
Not very much.
Say, with the traffic here, the British would have had him before he got out of 59. Well, we're very happy to have you here tonight, Miss Reynolds. And what would you like to sing?
All My Life.
All Your Life will be spent in Boston, huh? All right, thank you very much. Gentlemen, would you rather stand over there, Joe, or over here?
Over here.
Over here, huh? There's a dancing. Well,
hello, Christine.
What? It's more interesting from over there. You think I look better from that side?
Better over here.
Oh, it's
better over here.
Oh, you'd rather stand. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Joe Madden from Boston, Mass. You live in Boston, in the city, Joe?
Yes, I do. I'm an ice man there. I push at the truck.
You're an ice man? You push an ice truck, do you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, life is sort of a cakewalk for you, then, isn't it?
That's right.
And you play the violin on the side?
On the side.
Rather an odd combination, isn't it? From the ice business to the violin. If it was the mandolin, you could use your pick, of course, later. But Uncle Jim tells me that you are more of a trick violinist than a serious musician. Are you?
Yes, that's right.
What sort of tricks do you do?
Well, I play in back of the neck and on the hip and between the knees and with my foot.
Oh. Say, it must bore you when you see a fellow like Chrysler just standing there playing. No handsprings or anything. It must get monotonous. Well, do you want to go right ahead now, and I'll explain, if you want me to the radio audience, your various postures as you gyrate through the nocturne there. All right? You ready? The violin is now in back of Joe's head. Violin under his left arm. Bo is coming from someplace around his back there, I guess. Very good. Now the bow is rapidly inserted in Joe's shoe. He's doing sort of a one-legged gazotsky with the bow coming up. it's rather difficult. You jump away from me. Now, with the bow held in between his knees, the violin is stroked briskly up and down. Violinist. Thank you very much, Joe. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from South Boston, Johnny, I guess you'd better go on the other side of the microphone there for you dance, and that's the dancing mat there. From South Boston, Johnny Curtis. You come from South Boston, Johnny?
Yes, sir.
And you are a tap dancer, yes, hey? South Boston is really the Newport of Boston, isn't it? All those beautiful beaches there, L Street, Carson, and City Point. L Street is known all over the country. Don't you think so?
Yes, sir.
On account of the brownies? I knew a brownie. Brownies are husky gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, who go in swimming all the year round, winter and summer, at this beach where Johnny lives there, over in South Boston. They're called brownies. I knew a brownie, Benny Drone. Did you ever hear of him? He disappeared for 2 weeks one winter, went in swimming over there, and 2 weeks later, a woman in Brookline heard someone yelling help in her icebox. This Mr. Drone, he was frozen in at L Street, chopped out by a bootleg iceman and sold to this lady in Brookline. But you know many people over there?
Yes, sir.
You know Hambone Kelly, do you?
No, sir.
Don't you know Hambone? Hambone used to be a fine boxer just a few years ago. I knew people so religious they wouldn't speak to Hambone on a Friday over there. But you were... You're going to... you don't mind me talking to you, Johnny. You're going to dance for us, eh?
Mm-hmm.
What style?
Well, I'm going to do a sort of rhythm.
Rhythm dance? Fred Astaire dance?
No. Wings and...
Wings and taps, eh? Huh? Are you all set to go?
Yes.
Well, all right, you go right ahead. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, from South Boston. And now, may I present Rose Rayner from Winthrop, Massachusetts, and Harold, how do you pronounce your name?
Pummel.
Harold Pummel from Dorchester. We're neighbors, Harold. I live in Dorchester, too. I'm sorry, it's getting sort of late. I was going to ask you a few questions about home, but I think to make sure that all the boys and girls get on, we'll just go right ahead. You don't mind, do you?
Okay.
So what are you going to sing? Sympathy from...
The Upright of the Firefly.
The Firefly, thank you.
I need sympathy, sympathy, just sympathy. I won't think you are free. I will not scold, nor say you are bold.
When I treat you, tenderly, don't blame me.
And Harold Pamel from Dorchester. And now, I thought someone had set up a mirror in front of me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to have you meet from Needham, Massachusetts, Master Quentin Gulliver. How are you, Quentin?
Quite well, sir.
Uncle Jim tells me that you are a sneeze expert.
I believe that's it.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. I'm a sneezer.
You do different types of sneezes, do you?
Yes, sir. I've analyzed them.
Well, yep. Do you explain the sneezes as you go along, or would you rather have? Perhaps you better do it, huh?
Well, it's always been terrible. I mean, okay.
Well,
sure.
So you go right ahead, Quentin.
Sure.
I'll travel instead of Gulliver this time.
Thanks. Well, the first sneeze that I'm going to deal with tonight is the dainty sneeze. Now you've all seen dainty people, and of course with these dainty people, we have a dainty sneeze, something like this. Now, next, we have what is known as a hefty sneeze, the alternative of a dainty sneeze. Now, the hefty sneeze with hefty people, something like this. Now, next, we have what is known as the delayed sneeze. Now, the delayed sneeze brings up on one part, and there's a delay there, and then it's down on the other part. Now, the delayed sneeze is liable to be afflicted in anyone. The delayed sneeze. Next, we have the sneezing spasm. Now, of course, the sneezing spasm is oftentimes unavoidable. So I'm afraid I am. Good night.
That was Quentin Gulliver from Needham, Massachusetts. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the three boys, Charlie Condrato, William Duffy, and Philip Valendi from Woburn, Massachusetts, the Holton Hillbilly Trio. You boys ready to go?
Yes.
All set? Go right ahead. Thank you.
From the Rio Grande, and I come to town to hear the band. Tell them, boys! Oh, I know all songs that the cowboys know. Bob Corral, the way the doggies go. Learn them all from the radio.
I didn't know that we had hillbillies up in Boston. Probably good old Beacon Hillbilly. And that concludes our contest for this evening, ladies and gentlemen. And now, while I get the results of your voting from our recording machine, I'll leave you in the capable care of that well-known doctor of smiles, Harry Von Zeff.
To all of our new friends at their radios this evening, may I extend a sincere welcome. And to all of our old friends, we appreciate the friendly way you've remembered us during the summer. To everyone, thanks for remembering the two products that make all these hours of smiles in Town Hall possible. iPano toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. iPano, Sal Hepatica. Thank you very much, Peter. I see Fred has the results ready.
Yes, Harry, and what results? They're all tied up here. The applause meter, ladies and gentlemen, divulges that your applause has been heaviest for the four acts that we have called back on the stage. There's a triple tie and one away from that. I'm going to ask Harry to hold his hands over the heads of these boys and young lady as I call the names, and I'm going to ask you to kindly applaud once again, if you will, for your final winners. Now, first, from South Boston, Massachusetts, the little boy who danced, Johnny Curtis. And then the sneezing master from Needham, Massachusetts, Quentin Gulliver. And from West Roxbury, Massachusetts, the young lady who sang All My Life, Miss Gertrude Reynolds. The last act you just heard, the three little boys, the Holton Hillbilly Trio. Thank you. The first prize, $100 in cash, goes to the Holton Hillbilly Trio, the three little boys. And the second prize, $50 in cash, goes to Miss Gertrude Reynolds from West Roxbury, Massachusetts. I'm sorry that we all couldn't win, but I do want to thank you all for a fine contest, and I know that all Boston will be proud of your showing tonight. Saying good night until next Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget, we'll be looking for you round in front of the old town hall. Good night.
Let Yourself Go is from Follow the Fleet. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.